Welcome to the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Dead Soxy, hosted by RebelGrove.com publisher Neil McCready and featuring Zach Berry of Red Cup Rebellion. The Soft Verbal Podcast is your number one podcast dedicated to Ole Miss football and basketball recruiting. Featuring guests from throughout the Rivals.com network, the Soft Verbal Podcast tells you what is happening and what's going to happen on the recruiting trail, and it does it in style, just like Dead Soxy. Visit DeadSoxy.com and enter promo code RebelGrove at checkout for 30% off your order of the best dress socks you'll ever wear. Now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Dead Soxy. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Zach Berry with me as well today from Nashville, Tennessee. He's been covering the Elite 11 this week. I guess it's wrapped up now. Zach was out there during the week, so we'll talk about Elite 11. We'll talk about Isaiah Brevard. We'll talk about Zach getting a notification from the Tennessee High School Athletic Association. It's on something we've talked about on the message board, that the season is not going to start on time. Get into that. Not so much that I want to go jump off a bridge, but we'll talk about it enough. And then Ole Miss got a commitment earlier in the week. Zach was all over that as well. So we have things to talk about here on this Soft Verbal Podcast, and we will get to those topics in just a moment. First, let me tell you that Dead Soxy discounts are back. While some prices may have risen on the website, the MPW Digital Network of Podcasts and Rebel Grove subscribers will always have access to the best Dead Soxy discounts available. Use promo code RebelGrove at checkout and get 30% off the best dress socks you'll ever put on. And they are. They're awesome. They stay cool. They stay up. You'll love them. If you're on the fence about getting your kids a pair of the limited edition socks, use the promo code RebelGrove. Get a pair for you and your child that they'll love and you'll love for under $5. You can't beat that. Shutdown deals with the promo code combination are available in select sizes, so go to deadsoxy.com and make your day a soxy one. I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for my friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours. Right to the bottom line. There's no hassles. There's no haggle. Get your quote, and the rest is up to you. If you want to shop that quote around with 82 dealers, go for it. It's your time. If not Corey's. You can do what you want. It's cool. Or you can do what I recommend, and that is come back to Corey and the people at Clark Ford and get your Ford vehicle. You're going to love it. You're going to love the service. Corey wants to build a long-time relationship with you, and he wants to be your car guy, and he wants to be your truck guy, and he'll prove that to you when you make the call. 662-257-1900. And now to the Rafters Music and Food Hotline, and one Zach Berry. Zach, how are you, sir?
Neil, I'm doing fantastic. It is a wonderful day here in Nashville. Finished off a Starbucks triple shot energy drink, so I'm just
bouncing off the walls, man.
Ecstatic to be here with you today and to talk some recruiting.
So how'd your workout go earlier? Did you get a good one in?
It was good. As good as an assault bike workout can be. But you know, did a lot of running during quarantine. I feel like my engine's a little better. I hate the assault bike. It's never going to get better. It's kind of like burpees. They never get better. It's not like the more you do them, the easier they get. They always suck.
Yeah.
But it was good. It's nice. It's 90 degrees here. We had the doors open. So got a good sweat in. It was fun.
I've been doing a lot more running lately. I've worked today. I did a long run. It was my third day in a row to run. I'm kind of starting to stack days on top of days just to see what happens. So I'll take tomorrow off from running, and then at some point in the weekend I'll get one more run in for the week. But yeah, it is muggy. I'll tell you this. I've learned this here in Oxford. If I don't get my run in by no later than 8:45 in the morning, it's not happening.
Yeah.
I have to do something else. You just, because it gets so stagnant. The air gets so stagnant after that point that it's just not worth the trouble at that point. You're better off. I think you're better off going to the gym or getting on the Peloton or whatever than you are fighting for breath like that. And I don't mean like cardiovascularly. I mean just the air is so damn thick.
If I see somebody out between the hours of 12 to 2 running and they don't have water, I'm concerned. Because you're either just a total badass and you're like an ultra marathoner and it doesn't affect you, or you're stupid. Because that's the hottest time of the day, and unless you've been hydrating properly, your body is just struggling.
It's the one thing that I don't do well is I don't like to carry water with me when I'm out running, so it's another reason to get it done in the morning. But like I did 7 1/4 this morning, and but at the end of that, you're pretty, you're not dehydrated, but you're not exactly hydrated either. And I was thinking about that today. Like, man, if I was out here just 30 minutes later than I am right now, this would be miserable.
I didn't even look to see what the humidity percentage is today, but I can kind of stick my head outside and get a pretty accurate number. It's muggy. It's hot. It's definitely this week the humidity picked up big time. It was still kind of okay last week, but man, it's almost like that shower sweats feeling when you go outside, where you're just immediately, like, your lower back is immediately damp from just like if you're just sitting down. Like it's terrible.
It's 68% humidity here in Austin.
Oh, good.
Right now.
Okay.
There was one day we'll get off this subject, I promise. I think it was Saturday, and I should have looked, but I didn't. And the humidity was 97%.
Oh.
That was the day that I was like, man, what am I doing? This is insane. Anyway, all right, enough of that. All right, so you covered Elite 11, on which is a quarterback competition, basically, in Nashville. Tell the peeps about Elite 11, what you saw, what you observed, that kind of thing.
It was a good time for what it was. Obviously, with COVID and everything, it was vastly different. This wasn't at the Nike campus in Oregon. That would have been fantastic. I would have loved to have gone up there. Probably would have had to open a new line of credit to go in that store and buy a bunch of stuff, but I wasn't there. It was here in Nashville. It was in Murfreesboro, Blackman High School, day one. And then day two and three, it was over at Oakland High School in Murfreesboro. Went up there. I told the folks on the message board, I got an invite from Dilfer and a guy on the staff, Joey Roberts. They're good people, man. I went and did that interview with Trent last year to talk with Robbie Ashford and to just kind of meet him and just discuss quarterbacks and whatnot. And they're good people over there at Lipscomb Academy. So they told me, hey, come on out. We'll give you a media credential. So I went out there. Wanted to see Luke Altmaier. He got a late invite. Brock Heward, or I guess I should say Rob Heward, Brock's son. He unfortunately had to drop out. He came into contact with someone who had tested positive for COVID. So due to Elite 11's 2-week quarantine protocols, he was not able to attend. So they had to have someone fill his spot, and Altmaier got that invitation. So he came up from Starkville. And then I thought he did very well. There were some things that he could probably work on, wanted to be a little better at. I think as far as his footwork and just overall arm talent, I thought he stood out. I think he had really good day one, day two. I liked the way he looked out there. He was pretty composed. He, I'd say velocity, whether it was from the pocket or moving left to right. He always had pretty good zip on the ball. He can certainly spin it. I was talking with Woody Womack when I was there, and I told him, I said, man, I'm probably going to get roasted for this, but he kind of gives me vibes of Shea Patterson. And man, people, hopefully, please don't turn off the podcast. We just started. All jokes aside, I mean, Shea in high school was extremely good and extremely talented, and he had all the tools and he had everything you want in a quarterback. And when I say I see Shea, he's Altmyer's got an extremely quick release. When he decides he's going to throw the football, it's getting there in a hurry. And he also showed some ability to put some touch on the football. But I thought he looked good. He was a little bigger than I thought he was. He's a lot taller. But he looked good. And I know he's committed to Florida State, and I know people are wondering why I would be there to see him. And Neil, we've talked about it on here plenty. We've talked about it on the message board. Lane Kiffin and Jeff Levy, they love him. I think he is their number one target at quarterback, and they are going to recruit him until the very end. No matter if he's committed to Florida State, Mississippi State, LSU, it doesn't matter. They're going to go after him.
I can tell you that there were two quarterbacks that I've, my sourcing on this is absolutely impeccable. There were two quarterbacks that they were the highest on going into this class, and one is Altmyer, and the other is the kid that committed to South Carolina, whose name's escaping me right now.
Colton Gauthier.
That's him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, frankly,
of those two, I think they liked Altmyer the most. And I was told that, for reference, I was told that by someone who would absolutely know on a day that Gauthier was on the campus.
Yeah. Talked a little bit with some folks, Rivals guys and other people that were there. They kind of felt the same way about Altmyer. They didn't know much about him, but his name is slowly getting more and more attention with college coaches. I think he's he's definitely with his film that he's put out, and I think people are starting to pay attention. I think Mike Norvell and Florida State are going to have their work cut out for him, whether it's Ole Miss or whoever else. People are going to be coming after him, and I thought he did well. Day three, he did really well in the bullseye competition they had. Got a little tired towards the end, but it's a tough drill either way. But he's definitely got plenty of arm talent. He looks pretty athletic, and like I said, he was bigger than I thought he was. And then after day one, the other guy that I was paying attention to, who is I think everybody's familiar with who he is now, with the chicks that have been coming out the last couple of days, Maddox Kopp out of Houston, Texas. Received an offer today from Ole Miss. Thursday, as we're taping this, got the offer this morning. I just spoke with him, and excited about the offer. Now this kid is if you're building a quarterback in a factory, this is what they look like.
So tell me about this kid. Where's he from? All that stuff.
So from Houston, goes to St. Thomas High School. Big kid. Legit 6'5", probably 215 to 220. I mean, Dilfer is the guy that we were laughing about it yesterday. Before I left, I chatted with him and a couple of guys, and he always jokes about how he came up with the term arm talent and how everybody uses it now. Maddox Kopp has got legit arm talent. I mean, this guy, rolling to his right or left, I saw him multiple times fire the ball, just flick of the wrist, 40, 50 yards. I thought in drills he looked every bit as good as the guys that finished in the top five. I'm talking Caleb Williams, who's fighting to be the number one overall player in the country, going to go to Oklahoma. He was the MVP. I thought he looked as good as him. He looked as good as J.J. McCarthy, who's going to Michigan. Brock Vandegrift, who's going to Georgia. He was, in terms of ability to drive the football down the field and to make all the throws, he was just as good as anyone else. We were talking about it before we started, Neil. He went from unrated. He's now a three-star. He's a 5.6 three-star. I wouldn't worry about any kind of ratings right now because there's zero camp opportunity to improve that. But before the Elite 11, his really only big time offer was Houston, the hometown school. He got an offer from Wyoming, and then now he's got Ole Miss and Texas, Vandy, Texas Tech, Colorado, A&M are all keeping tabs on him. I would venture to say that his offer sheet is about to really, really blow up.
Did you get the impression from talking to him that anything was imminent in terms of a decision? These are the kids that I find fascinating now, especially in this COVID thing, Zach, because normally a kid like this, right, he would go to the Elite 11 and he blows up. And he gets multiple offers, and he goes home to Houston in this case, and he says to his family, hey, I need to go look at some of these schools. And you know, and they hop in the car, and everybody's excited because the dream's coming true, right? And you hop in the car, maybe you go to Oxford, and you go to wherever, and you visit three or four schools, and all of a sudden you're ready to make a decision and be, you know, the quarterback in a class because – most schools don't sign two quarterbacks. A school might be able to apply that. It's very subtle pressure, but it's pressure nonetheless. It says, hey, look, we're going to take one quarterback. We can't afford to get no quarterbacks. And you're our guy unless you're not our guy. And we can't afford to wait 3 weeks or 3 months and not get our number two guy or our number three guy if you're not coming. So kind of let us know here soon, right, bud? And that's it happens, and then in August the kid commits, and that's that. Kids don't have that opportunity now. They don't have those chances to go take those visits, and it makes that process slow even more.
Yeah, and I just exchanged some texts with him just now. I mean, basically the sentiment I got from him was he's just trying to gather as much information as he can right now.
Sure.
He, you know, he said obviously with COVID there's some obstacles there. He said, you know, he's never been to Oxford, he's never been to Ole Miss, so he said he's planning on going now. Obviously, whenever he's able to, he's going to go because you know he wants to go and see if he likes it. He wants to go to Oxford. He wants to see.
Yeah, of course,
the campus.
Of course. So, I mean, it's a very normal. That's a very normal thing. I mean, you know, you don't, whether it's football or not. Very rarely do you make a college decision out of high school and say, hey, I'm going to go to the University of blank without going to see it first. You go take the cheesy tour and you look at the dorms and you drive around the town and you and your parents or you and your mom or whatever drive around and you get a feel for a place and you meet with some people and you see whether it feels right for you. And then, you know, you go home and think about it. Very difficult,
yeah.
Very difficult for it. And people go, well, grad transfers do it, but that's a totally different deal. For grad transfers, it's those
right.
kids have been to college. They're older. I'll use the kid from Arizona State. From why am I drawing blanks on names today? You can tell I'm mentally just kind of fried. The basketball player.
Oh, Romello White.
Thank you. I'm losing my mind, man. It's bad today. I talked to Romello White, and I was like, well, you know, what'd you think? He goes, well, I've never been to Oxford. I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, but I know what I'm looking for. He goes, you know, they gave me the Zoom tour, and I knew the questions I had, and I got those questions answered. It's good. I'm cool. I know the deal. I'm going for 1 year. This is my opportunity. Totally different deal. He's not going for the whole college experience. You know what I mean? And so you're asking a kid like this, hey, commit to wherever, Ole Miss or wherever, sight unseen, potentially for 5 years. It's a huge,
yeah.
That's a huge undertaking. It's why I think the early signing period has to go away this year. I don't think it's fair to the coaches. I don't think it's fair to programs. I don't think it's fair to a lot of kids, actually. And just hope that kids can take January visits because I don't think there's going to be any visits taken in the fall, into the late fall. I really don't.
Yeah, I would. You mentioned the grad transfer thing. I would venture to say that there are three things that you look for when you're a grad transfer. One, as always, relationship. If you like the coaching staff, all right, cool, check. Second thing, depth chart. I got 1 year. I want to go and play. I'm not going to be a role player or be on the bench. So depth chart, we're good there. I got a chance to earn a spot. Boom, check. The third, just give me some kind of graduate program that I can be enrolled in, and we're good. You got it there. If it's applicable to my undergraduate degree, awesome. If it's not, if it's something that I can use after basketball, after football, whatever, awesome. That's it. I feel like those are the three things they look for. And that's it, because look, I've never been a grad transfer, but I know my limits. I could make something work for a year if I'm trying to get to the next step in my career. And if, in, you know, Romelo's case, it's getting to the NBA. You can make anything work for a year. Just go, okay, I know that I'm comfortable with Kermit and his staff. Oxford's cool. Okay, fine. I'm good. I can do it. Like, that's all they're looking for.
Of course. And it's different. So, it's different for a high school kid, even a football player. You are looking for something more. You're not going probably for just 1 year. You're going for at least three. If everything goes great, you're going probably for four and maybe for five. And yeah, you want to get a better feel for the campus and all of those things. So it's interesting. You think he's that good of a player, and he's starting to land those kind of offers. And congratulations to the kid, because that to me, those are the fun recruiting stories where a kid kind of comes out of nowhere and boom.
Oh yeah, I mean, he was I thought he like I said, we were in the bleachers and I was sitting up top and Woody was sitting there doing video for Rivals, and he's out there going through their drills, and he was like, who is that kid? So I checked the roster and I was like, Maddox Cop. I was like, I've never heard of him. I was like, he's from Texas. And we were both just like, okay, like, he's got something. And he won the rail shot competition on the first night, which essentially the rail shot is their kind of big time drill at the end of the night, where they basically have everybody sitting there and they call different quarterbacks out. And it's basically, you know, you're in the hot seat. You got to make the throw. You either go to the winner's circle or you don't. And it's essentially just running a, you know, some kind of fade go route down the sideline, but they want the ball. It's got to be not only on target, but it's got to be a little bit, you know, right at the face mask, a little bit higher. It can't be inside at all, because then you're going to get your receiver killed by a safety, or it's going to get picked off. It can't be behind him, because it's, you know, it's not going to be completed, or it's not going to be a touchdown. So they're sticklers on what they want in that drill. And he turned some heads when he went head to head with Caleb Williams, the guy that I was talking about earlier, who's probably, I think he's going to Oklahoma to be the next quarterback at Oklahoma, and he could be the number one player in the country, and they were the last two guys, and he went head-to-head and beat him. I think that's when everybody was like, whoa, okay, this kid can spin it. So, he did himself well, had a good 3 days, and so could be something to monitor if they're going to keep pushing for Altmyer and they're not making any headway there. I think they're going to turn up the heat. So Jeff Lebby went ahead and submitted the offer this morning. He did tell me he doesn't have a timetable for a decision. He's just going to continue to do his due diligence in terms of gathering information. So he doesn't seem like he's going to try to stick close to home. I know he has a brother who plays basketball at Northwestern. And then I think he might have another brother that plays somewhere. I don't think that really matters. But I don't think it's going to be Houston will win out because they're the hometown team. I think he's going to go wherever he sees is his best opportunity.
Another topic, Isaiah Brevard, the wide receiver out of South Haven, now saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but that he could or will commit somewhere on Saturday?
So all caps on Twitter, I will be committing on July 4th. Eyeball emojis, hashtag thank you God. So.
I'm not going to say it. I've got a theory about kids who commit on holidays, but I've never fleshed it completely out.
He's just a huge Independence Day fan.
Is that what it is? Likes fireworks?
Oh, I meant the actual film.
Oh, the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of what he's going to do, I posted on the board just now in the chicks. Everyone I've talked to has no idea. They don't know if anything changed or if he's leaning any way right now. I don't think that's – I wouldn't say that's a bad thing for Ole Miss. Hell, he could commit to Ole Miss on Saturday. I do know for a fact that whatever he does on Saturday, it's not going to be the end.
That was my next question, Zach. If I told you – If I told you that you could make a bet and that you could either have, for where he actually ends up, you could either have the school that he commits to publicly on Saturday or the field, which would you take?
Do I know who the – are you going to give me who he commits to on Saturday?
Well, if I knew, I would. I mean, I would even let you – but I'd let you wait until Saturday to see who it was, and then you could go from there. I mean
– okay. I'll say this. I don't think his recruitment will be over. It's not going to be a complete shutdown. He's not going to cancel, you know, not going to talk to anybody else, blah, 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 blah. A lot was made when he released a top seven. Ole Miss wasn't in it. Ole Miss has been the proverbial favorite from the jump. The previous staff offered him. They were very high on him. This staff is very high on him. I mean, it was funny because he released the top seven, I think, a week and a couple days after Chad Simmons did a ranking the contenders piece on him, and Ole Miss was number one. So, look, at this point, they're kids, they're teenagers, they're all over the place with what they want to do. This is a very difficult decision for any recruit, whether you're a four-star, five-star, or a no-star. It weighs heavy on them. They've got a lot of options, especially Isaiah. He's got a lot of schools that want him. A lot of really good programs want him. So, look, if he's going to want to have some fun with it and going to want to keep people on their toes and change his mind a bunch, hey, he can do whatever he wants. Good for him. Go out there and have some fun with it. But I have it very, very well sourced that Ole Miss is very much in the picture, regardless of a top seven graphic that's on Twitter. I was told that Ole Miss is going to be in it until the very end. So right now, I think if it's not Ole Miss on Saturday, I think it's probably going to be either Georgia or Oregon. Oregon, obviously, Joe Moorhead's the offensive coordinator there now. He was very, very, very high on Isaiah when he was at Mississippi State and was recruiting him very hard. Now he's at Oregon. Look, Oregon's a cool place. It's a very successful program right now. Mario Cristobal has got them rolling. I think that they are going to dominate the Pac-12 as long as he is the head coach there. And Neil, I think you would agree with me. I think he is going to be the eventual successor for Nick Saban at Alabama. So,
I agree. He is, to me, the odds-on favorite to be the next head coach at Alabama. It's not Dabo.
Yeah. But, hey, if I was 17 years old and Oregon offered me, I would look at it too.
Oh, I would look at it. And I don't want to be the guy that sounds this provincial. Having kids that age, I feel like I can say this with a certain degree of authority. Kids like getting away from home, but I don't know that they like getting that far away from home.
That's far.
It's a long way. Like, so if you told me that it's Oregon or Georgia, if I'm Ole Miss and it's not me, I'm hoping he commits to Oregon.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Oregon has this as good of a chance of holding on to him as Georgia would. I mean, Georgia. Right. Georgia's a haul, but it's a doable drive. You could drive from Athens to South Haven in a day. It'd be a long drive, and it wouldn't be particularly fun, but you could do it.
Yeah,
easily. It's what, 7 hours? But the drive, you're not driving to Eugene in a day. You're not getting home if some. You rarely see that. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I don't think that probably happens.
Now, I'll throw this caveat out there, and maybe people get mad because, you know, Zach, you're trying to convince him that it's okay to go there, but just hear me out. Oregon has had some success in the Mid-South. They recruited Dylan Mitchell, who was from Memphis. He went to White Station. He went to Oregon and was a very good player at Oregon. I'm going to have to do a quick Google search. I don't know if he's – assuming he's in the NFL, but had a – yes, he is with the Minnesota Vikings now. He had a great career at Oregon. Ole Miss recruited him very, very hard in that 2016 class. So, hey, maybe he's talked a little bit to Dylan, asked him, hey, what was your time like in Eugene, going from, you know, the Mid-South all the way out to Oregon out west. So, either way, I still stand by what I said. Regardless of who he – even if he commits to Ole Miss on Saturday, people are still going to come after him and continue to recruit him. So whether or not they hold on to him, I still think that whoever gets his commitment on Saturday is going to have their work cut out for him. But this is a hell of a segue here, Neil. At the receiver position, Ole Miss is potentially in the running to add another name to the 2020 class.
All right, so I was going to ask you about this. We forgot to talk about this in the pre-show. We get asked about Leonard Manuel routinely. We got asked about Mark Britt a lot. Mark Britt is in Oxford. He has signed. Ole Miss officially released that this week. They had to wait till some of the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. Leonard Manuel's deal is more complicated than Mark Britt's.
Mm-hmm.
People keep going, well, the ACT, his deal is not an ACT deal. His deal is not an SAT deal. His deal is a transcript deal. Are you hearing that that's going to get worked out?
So I've talked to a couple people, a couple Florida guys, and asked them. They have all but said it's Ole Miss. They have essentially, I guess you could say, they have, you know, raised the white flag in terms of we're not going to deal with it anymore. I think Leonard wants to go to Ole Miss. And this is me. This isn't me saying someone told me this. This is my opinion. I think for a while, people around him were saying he needed to stay close to home. And we've had this conversation, Neil. We talked about it with Zachary Evans. Those types of kids, when they have people around them that, look, they have good intentions. I think they do. I think they really do. But you have all these people pulling you in different directions. I think a lot of times for kids like that, it's good to get away from home and to kind of go out on your own. And, I mean, you get structure when you're part of a football program. That's what coaches do. You're offered structure. You're offered a schedule. You have things that you have to do. And I think that that's good for young kids to get away and to go. And, you know, I think college, those first couple years of college are pivotal for people. That's where you grow as a young person and as you kind of develop into an adult in terms of how you go about your business, whether that's football, whether that's class, whether that's your daily life. I think Leonard Manuel wants to go to Ole Miss, and I think he wants to get away from the state of Florida. I don't think he would mind me saying this, but he's had his troubles in high school. He transferred from school, transferred from Vanguard. He transferred to Stranahan High School. Didn't have a good relationship with the staff at Vanguard. Went to Stranahan, played basketball and football there. So the transcript issues are there because naturally when you transfer to different schools, a lot to keep up with. You've got to keep up with all the grades at this school as you go to this school. So I think that there is growing optimism that he has righted the ship. I don't think I'm there yet in terms of saying that he's going to qualify. I'm not going to give it a number figure or a fire emoji.
You will give a percentage 1 to 100, and we'll hold you to it. Is what's going to happen here? So
yeah. So I think right now I feel pretty good that he will at some point announce, commit, whatever you want to call it, flip to Ole Miss. I've talked with some Florida sources, and they feel pretty comfortable saying that Florida's going to move on and he's going to go to Ole Miss. Now, I did have somebody tell me that they think that not only does he want to go to Ole Miss, but he is going to really try to qualify. I know he's been doing a ton of work academically during all this quarantine. He's been doing online and all kinds of stuff and test preps and blah, 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 blah. But I don't know the chances. He's been really quiet the past couple weeks. I talked to a couple guys at the rival site. I talked to Corey Bender over there, and you know he's known this kid for years. Because look, Neil, I'll tell you this: at one point, Leonard Manuel was a 5-star and was one of the top 20 players in this 2020 class. And I mean, he's been a dude over in Florida for a number of years, and so Corey has known him, and he's like, man, you know, we used to chat a lot. You know, whether he was committed to Florida or not, he would keep me up to date on what his recruitment was doing. And he said, man, I haven't heard from him in 3 weeks. So usually when recruits go quiet, they're trying to make a decision. So I don't know if it's imminent, but I think Ole Miss is in a good spot right now in terms of gaining a commitment from him. But as far as getting qualified, as you know, that's a whole different story. So we'll see.
All right. Ole Miss got a commitment this week from Elijah Sabatini. I've wanted to know all week, is he related to Gabriella Sabatini? I don't think he is. Gabriella Sabatini, a former tennis star who I may or may not have had feelings for at one point. We'll leave Gabriella out of this for a moment. Tell me about Elijah.
You know, I think he I watched this film, so I started hearing some things over the I guess last weekend, and watched this huddle tape, and to me, I mean, I think that this is I know, you know, the no star joke, blah blah blah, but you know, they say ball don't lie, I say film don't lie. Looks extremely good on film. He, 6'1". I think he's listed as 195 on Rivals. I think he's over 200. Moves extremely well in space. I think he will naturally be a safety. But I think he could get into a college weight program, starts eating right, could grow into some kind of strong safety outside linebacker, and still be able to maintain his speed and quickness. Plays both ways at Biloxi, so, you know, played some receiver, so he's got some speed, he's got some quickness, he's got some athleticism. I like this pickup a lot. Terrell Buckley offered him and stayed on him pretty hard, and you know, I think that this is something that is going to pay off. I mentioned it in the piece I wrote. Memphis and Louisville were both on him. Those are two defensive staffs that I respect as someone who watches a ton of film. I think Mike McIntyre is a phenomenal defensive coach. And then at Louisville, former Ole Miss Rebel, Brian Brown is the defensive coordinator there. I thought that he was on my proverbial hot board in terms of who Ole Miss should have looked at for DC. He's now there after doing big things at App State. I feel comfortable if those two guys were after him, that I think he's a good pickup.
Okay. I just looked up Gabriella Sabatini. She's my age.
I was going to say, that's all you had to say after all that, but you were doing other things.
No, I was listening. I don't know anything about him. I'm transitioning to this, though. So here's my question. Okay. You do some side work as an official, a football official. You referee games. You got a notification earlier this week that, hey, this is not going to happen right away. Season's going to get delayed through, I think, at least August the 29th. The teams can practice, but they can have no contact before August the 29th, which means they're not playing into, if all goes well, the middle of September. What else are you hearing? And Zach, in the event that there's no high school football season, how does this impact players? How does this impact, in your opinion? And this is something we're going to do a lot on this if it comes to this, obviously. Mm-hmm. How does this impact schools being able to evaluate? How does this impact kids being able to be seen? You don't have to dive into too much detail here because I know you're just now kind of starting to think about these things as well, and we're going to talk about it a lot over the next few weeks, hopefully no longer than that, but if it becomes a story, it's something we'll talk about a lot. But just your initial reaction to that news, and if the worst case happens, what's kind of your 30,000 feet thoughts?
Well, first off, I think moving the season back is a great idea anyway, regardless of a global pandemic or not, because Neil, the first 2 to 3 weeks of high school football are just awful.
Oh, listen, let me interrupt quickly and say this. I have for the longest time thought college football and high school football were starting too damn early. August is hot. It is too hot, frankly. If you told me today that, hey, we're going to play a season, but we're not going to start this thing until late September, and we're going to go into mid-December instead of stopping at Thanksgiving for reasons I've never completely understood, I'd be like, oh, that's a win-win. You know, I mean, I'll be honest. I think Labor Day, the NFL, to its credit, has it right. They don't play a game Labor Day weekend. They wait another week, and they go, you know, through the new year with the regular season. They would be, if any of the three, high school, college, or professional, had an excuse to start early, it would be the NFL, because they have 16 games and a couple of and at least one bye week. And they're like, no, screw that, man. It's too hot. And so they wait a little bit to play. But in this case, this is not about the heat. This is about COVID. This is about trying to buy some time. And so it is concerning.
Well, I think so they did backtrack here in Nashville from phase three to phase two with a mask mandate. So I think that the TSSAA, which I know that Nashville is not the only part of the state, but I think they want to see how July goes. And they want to see how August is. Because, like I said, moving the season back after, when I first read the email and they were like, we're not starting till after Labor Day, like, I stopped reading for a second and was like, oh, thank God, like, because it's terrible. But I think that's what they're going to do. They mentioned that the three options on the table right now is either a 7, 8, or 9 game season, and then moving into playoffs and state championships, because normally they play a 10 game regular season. And then I believe it's first round, second round, quarter, semi, championship. So 5 games, I believe. So that to me seems doable. We'll see how things are at the end of August, moving into September, if cases have gone down, infection rates, everything, you know, how is testing, what are antibody tests giving us, blah, blah, blah. I think that right now, that somebody asked me on the board what my thoughts were, and that's what I said. I want to see how this month in August goes. I know whether it's right or wrong, Neil, there are tons of schools, not only in Tennessee, everywhere in the country, high schools, not even high school football programs, high schools in general depend on high school football. Now, you can obviously make the argument that that's your own fault for budgeting poorly, but these small towns, these small programs, these high schools, they need high school football. And it, you know, it's a very, very, you know, much smaller scale than the college game, but it's similar in college. You know, they, places like Oxford, places like Starkville, places like Auburn, Alabama, they need the economy. They need that revenue stream.
Yes.
So that's my 30,000 foot. That's my take right now. It's the first time they have really said, like, hold on, we need to look, because we had been doing everything business as usual. I paid my yearly dues. We were going to do, you know, our state meeting was going to be, you know, virtual, but we were, hey, season's happening. So that's where we are right now. I'd imagine that MHSAA is probably doing the same thing. I know I'd heard that they were thinking of maybe swapping, doing baseball, you know, baseball and football switching to where they would do football in the spring. Who knows? But that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I don't think the switch. I don't think this. Well, you could do it at the high school level. Here's the people say, why can't you do that at the college level? Money.
Right.
At the college level, you're not playing anything until you play football. It's the part of this.
And logistically, it would just be a nightmare.
Yeah, but it's money. I mean, you're right. You're right. Absolutely right. But it's money. Money is reasons number one through. I mean, it just is.
This is like when Michael was trying to keep Stanley from going to transfer in branches, and every time Stanley, money.
Yeah.
What can I do to keep you, Stanley? Money.
Money.
Yeah.
But absent the money, money. This is all about money. They're not going to play. They're not going to play anything until they know they can play football.
Right. Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons people go, well, just like today, Stuart Mandel was, you know, let me take that back. I don't know that it was Stuart. It was somebody. Move the college football season to the spring. All right. Well, how do you know it's going to be better in the spring? You know what I mean? I mean, how do you know that's going to be better?
Yeah, I mean, no one knows.
And what if it's not? The problem with the fall, if you can't play football in the fall, is that you're not going to start basketball either.
Right,
And if you don't start basketball before the middle of December or sometime in January, at the very earliest, and you don't start it then until you know that football can not only start but can get going. If you tell me there's no football in the fall, I will tell you that there is no anything until possibly football in the spring. And I know Ole Miss is a big baseball school. If you can't play football at Ole Miss, baseball makes no sense unless you can absolutely jam-pack the stadium night after night. And if you have to socially distance the stadium, it makes no sense.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. I mean,
it's why not to get on this topic on this show, it's why I am absolutely flabbergasted at the number of people in my field who do not seem to understand when they write, why not just go ahead and cancel it? Well, I'll tell you why. Because canceling it is absolutely catastrophic across the board, and no one does the catastrophic thing until you just run out of time and you run out of options. It's why when you hear people go, oh, they're thinking about canceling the season. No, they're not. No, because that's worst case. It's last case. They'll do anything they can. If this is the family Labrador, this is the dog that's not getting put down until every single possible option has been exhausted.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, well, sir, it's going to cost $2,000 to do the surgery. Do it. It's going to cost, there's no guarantee here. I don't care. Do it. This is desperate. There's desperation here. And it's not going to happen. At the high school level, though, you're right. You could switch it at the high school level. You absolutely could, because there's not as much money involved. You could play baseball in the fall and football in the spring. It's the indoor sports that are going to be in trouble. You could play soccer in the fall instead of the spring. There are things you could do that would be doable. Yeah, at the high school level.
Yeah, I'll ask you this as we head towards closing up here. The NFL mentioned doing the waiver, you know, submitting a waiver for fans to sign coming into games. I think they're kicking around that idea, looking towards doing that. Do you think colleges would do that?
Say that one more time. The waivers with the fans?
Yeah, so the NFL proposed that idea of,
yeah,
if you come to a game, you sign a waiver, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, here's what I've heard, though. And I've heard this from some legal people that I've talked to, and I listened to a legal show. It was Mark Garagos that was saying this. He was basically saying those waivers are pretty flimsy in court.
Okay.
Yeah, you absolutely do them, but, you know,
I don't think they need them, especially in the SEC. People are going to go to games no matter what. People are going to suck it up, and, hell, the people that hate wearing masks will probably wear a mask just to go watch college football.
Well, now I'll tell you this. Today, if you told me that there are games played, I will tell you that fans are going to be told to wear a mask. And I know that is going to be this massive brawl of a fight. And I know it, but I'm just telling you now that if in a scenario where Vaught Hemingway or Neyland or any other place is 50% full, and I don't think, like, Keith Carter basically said this on our podcast, you know, like, that deal where it's only 20% full, that's not worth it for them. So if it's 50% full, there are going to be people that are asking you to please wear a mask. Please put a mask on. Hey, you've been warned, put a mask on. They're going to have mask security, no doubt about it. And I know it's going to lead to a bunch of crap, and I'm not here to argue about masks one way or the other. My stance on the mask has been pretty clear all along. If you make me wear a mask, I'm going to wear a mask. I'm not convinced they're particularly effective because people don't wear them properly and people keep touching their face and people are moving it around and all of that stuff. But whatever, if that's what it takes to get it done, then I'm in.
I mean, Neil, you have SEC coaches that can't even wear them properly.
Yeah, I know Leach standing there in the mask is under his nose. You know, I do wonder, do you make coaches wear a mask on the sidelines? How far does this go? You know, when players come off the field to take their helmet off, do they have to put a mask on? I don't. There's a lot of questions that suddenly, as we've gone mask crazy, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't. I think I might be the one person in America who has no hot take on mask. But I do have questions because the mask thing has become such a prevalent topic of conversation that I do have questions about the mask. But in that scenario, if that's what it took, people absolutely should be prepared to wear a mask. You should be thinking about what mask is the most comfortable for you, because I don't think there's a scenario in place where, like, even in Texas, which has been defiant about mask, they just came out today, masks are absolutely required, no gatherings of 10 or more. Texas took a big – if you were looking at Texas, as I was about a month ago, as, hey, maybe we're going to have fans in the stands, maybe this Baylor game, blah, 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 nah, today was a bad day for that. But now, there's still time, still two months,
yeah,
2 months and a couple of days. It's one of the reasons I want to punch people when they – want to make these calls today. The call doesn't have to be made today. There's no reason to make that call today. But
well, you think, Neil, with Texas and how big high school football is, not even college football, with high school football there, you'd think that they'd be compliant in order to have a season, because, man, it's bigger than college there. I mean, but I don't know. Everything's bigger in Texas, including the just ignorancy.
Yeah, you're right. And so I mean, I won't even go there. I won't even call it ignorant. I'll just kind of call it stubborn and whatever. But it is what it is, and people are going to have to get used to this. There's no doubt in my mind that if we are going to have football, and I'm not going to even do the thing about wear your mask now so we can have football. I'm past that. If we're going to have football, you're probably going to have to wear a mask. And there will be people who will say, well, that's not worth it to me. And my answer to that is, the school's answer to that is, well, okay, fair enough. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I actually think they can do it, because I think there will be a certain degree of social distancing that happens naturally. Because, I mean, in fairness, if it's 94 degrees outside, sitting in a stands with a mask on your face, regardless of how you feel about it politically, is miserable. And some people might say, you know what, I don't want to do it. I'd rather watch the game from home.
Yeah, it's...
And so in many ways, I think a lot of the social distancing would take care of itself.
I mean, that's... They've been... Hell, you could argue that college football fans have been social distancing for the past 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
Staying at home and not going to games, but
of course.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. If they're going to have college football this year, you're going to have to wear a mask in the stands at least through October into November if things start to improve. But, but hey, just wear a mask. It's okay. No one's infringing on your liberties and your rights. Just do it.
And if you don't want to wear one and you don't want to come because of that, I'm okay with that too. I will not be the guy that makes fun of you for that. I'm good with that. I really am. I mean, I don't know what that makes me, a libertarian or whatever. If the people say, hey, if you want to come, you got to wear a mask, then that's the rule. And if you go to the game and you say, hey, it's worth it to me to go and wear a mask, cool. If you say it's not worth it to me, it's not comfortable, it kind of makes me feel bad, I don't want to do it, I'd rather watch on TV, okay. I'm not going to be the guy who goes, oh, it makes you a jerk. No, not at all. I mean, that's if it's more comfortable, and it would be. It would absolutely be more comfortable to sit in your living room without a mask in 70-degree cool air than it would be to sit in 94-degree heat wearing a mask. There's no question which one's more comfortable. That's not a debate.
Right.
You know, but if it's why when people say, well, you just can't do it, I don't believe for one minute, Zach, that 62,000 people would pack into Vault Hemingway Stadium on a 95-degree day if you had to wear a mask to watch a college football game that's on national television. I don't believe that.
I'll say this. Here's what you do. When you're checking tickets, you have somebody there with a box with masks. And if somebody comes up with a ticket and they don't have a mask, and you say, sir, ma'am, here's a box, grab a mask before you come in. If they say no, go home. Go back to the Grove. That's the only way you can do it. And if somebody says, well, this is ridiculous, I want my refund, hey, that's fine. Go to the ticket office and do it. But I just don't think you can't be liable for that with people coming in. And I mean, look, it's Ole Miss's decision. If you want to come watch Ole Miss play football, you have to have a mask. And if people are going to say, no, I have a ticket, you can't tell me what to do, well, absolutely they can. So we'll see. 2 months, it's going to be a long 2 months anyways. A lot of things can change. Hopefully they change for the better. But yeah, until then, no one really has any idea what's going to happen.
Hey, great show. Really appreciate all the work you've done the last couple weeks. You've got a big board update that it's in the system. I'm going to edit it here probably in the next little bit, have it ready to go. You can punch it up. That'll be up on Monday. So we won't have a Soft Verbal podcast next week. I'm going to be out and about unless you and Chase do one, at which point that's up to you and Chase. But we'll be back in a couple weeks, and maybe by then we'll know a heck of a lot more about where we stand with recruiting and high school football and college football and all of those things. Don't forget deadsoxy.com, deadsoxy.com. Enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout, and you get up to 30% off on different items there at the website. For Zach Berry, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for this episode of Soft Verbal Podcast. Until next time, take care.